Hello, this is Jeff Roney from the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast at onceisfrozen.com, and you are listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Here's another string of lights, Mickey.
Say, how about hanging that red ornament over here?
Hey, can I hang the silver snowflake in front? It's my favorite.
Why, sure, Goofy.
We decorate the Christmas tree this time every year. We sing along in harmony, glad that we are.
Hello and welcome to show number 44 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to spend Christmas in July. On the last week of July, we're going to talk about some of the things in Walt Disney World that happened during the holiday season that you actually need to start planning for now. On top of that, we're going to talk about some of the things in the parks that are Christmas all year round. So if you need that Christmas fix or that holiday fix in the summertime, we're going to tell you some of the places you can get it. So here we go. Here are the Disney Nerds tonight. This is Ed.
This is Jimmy.
Sam.
Jennifer.
And welcome to our show. So, as I said, for tonight's topic, we're going to talk about Christmas in July. Now, the first thing we're going to talk about is the things that happen during the holiday season that you might want to start getting ready for now if you have a trip planned. It's about 6 months out in July from the December season, and some of the events you really need to start thinking about now and starting to plan around. So as we start our Christmas in July, let's think about some of that music and some of that snow and start feeling a little bit cold. And maybe we can start talking about the Candlelight Processional. Now, Epcot has a lot of different events, and this is one of them. And this is probably one of the biggest things they do. Have you guys been to the Candlelight Processional?
I have not, but it is definitely on my list of things that I would really enjoy going to do.
I went a couple of different times, but it's been since before we had kids, so it's been at least 6 years. So I went probably 2 years in a row before that.
I have absolutely been to the Candlelight Processional. And I guess let me step back a second, Ed. We've all been to Walt Disney World during the holidays, correct? December?
Yes, correct. And actually, you know what, Sam? That's not a bad place to start in that the holidays at Disney World, everybody should remember, they start right after Halloween.
Absolutely, they do. In fact, the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party starts early in November. But I was going to even get to being – if you're a Walt Disney World veteran and you've been there many times as we have and you still haven't gone in the November-December time frame for Christmas, it's a different place. And I think you guys would agree to that. Everything to the background music's different.
Yes.
And just the experience of being there is not the same as going any other time of year.
You know what, Sam? That's funny that you mentioned that because I went to Walt Disney World as an adult for the first time in a long time. And then I fell in love with it and started, you know, doing the Disney nerd thing, listening to park music all the time, reading everything I could. Then we went back at Christmas time in December. And I was like, what is this music? Like, this is not the Innovations Plaza music. This is not what it's supposed to be. And I was almost disappointed.
Yes.
Because it was not the right music. Now, I absolutely love it now that I know what to expect. And it's perfect because it's, you know, Christmas music or a little bit different wintry music, but still very much, you know, themed to different lands, themed to different parks. So they, of course, do a great job. It's not like going to a mall and hearing the same songs over and over again. But it is. You're right. Everything changes at Christmas time starting in November. The only thing I was going to say, too, is some things start switching right after Halloween, maybe a day or two after. But it's worth looking at the dates, because we've gone in November and been disappointed that certain things, I know the Osborne lights don't start right away, the Holiday Storytellers, a couple of things we're going to talk about later, don't start until December. So if you have your mind set on seeing a certain thing that we talk about, make sure you check the calendar.
Definitely. Always checking the calendar is a Disney vacation planner's mantra. I've seen the calendar change 2 weeks before a trip, where they've actually changed times of fireworks, things like that. So for the holiday season, checking the calendar, it definitely fits in.
And that it used to be, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, because I used to hear this all the time. Oh, yeah, when you go to Disney World, you're there Thanksgiving, and the day after Thanksgiving, all of the Christmas decorations are magically appear overnight. That's not the case anymore. Because right. As we just mentioned, the fall stuff gets put away and the Christmas stuff comes out immediately in early November. So the jack-o'-lanterns are gone and the Christmas decoration, the garland's out the next day. So you can start to see Main Street being decorated much earlier than Thanksgiving timeframe.
I think that's just the product of, you know, they're pushing these seasons out further and further. Like there's almost always a celebration now, whether it be Food and Wine, or, you know, they extended the dates to Food and Wine, they extended the dates to the Flower and Garden. You know, they now you can go, I mean, all the way at the beginning of September and go to the Halloween party. So they're expanding all these things. I mean, obviously to make money, and I think it gives a lot more people the opportunity to see it.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now let's get into some of the different activities that we can find in the parks. We mentioned the Candlelight Processional over at Epcot. Now, that's one of the activities that they have. And usually what you'll see is a schedule come out probably about the September timeframe that'll start listing who the entertainers are. For those that don't know, the Candlelight Processional is basically a tribute to the holiday season by the reading of the Christmas story. There is a star that comes in, and in front of a choir and a big band, and I think the singers from the American Adventure Experience are also included. And
Voices of Liberty?
Right. The Voices of Liberty are there also. And they're set up over in the American Pavilion. What's the name of the theater over there? Is that it?
America Gardens?
Right. American, yeah.
Yep. Oh, right. Across from the American Adventure. And there's, I think, two shows a night. And it's a really, really moving experience. And I think definitely worth checking out. Now, one of the things to say is that since it's in that theater, you don't necessarily have to be sitting down to hear and see the show, but it definitely is nice to do that. Have you guys ever done the packages? Because I know they have the packages for this also.
Yes.
Basically,
I have as well.
Okay, go over it. Well, what's the package consist of?
So basically, they have three different tiers of restaurants that you can choose from, and that changes slightly each year. But there's a set price for many of the restaurants throughout World Showcase, and maybe even a couple in Future World. You choose a time to eat, and then that gives you kind of a return ticket to one of the shows that evening. What happens then is you take your pass and you stand in a much shorter line, because you'll notice if you're not on the Candlelight Dining package, people do start lining up quite early for seats in the theater. So you only have to show up maybe 30 minutes in advance instead of much earlier, plus you get dinner with that. So each of the tiers is a different price based on which restaurant you're going to, but definitely if you're planning on eating dinner anyway, the price isn't that different to cut down on some of your weight and maybe get a little bit more done in between while you're waiting for the show to start.
Now, when we had done this, the line for the package was a little bit long, but once they started letting people in, because the theater was so big, the line basically disappeared and everybody got a good seat. One of the mistakes we did made was we actually sat too close. We were about three rows from the stage, and when you're that close, the stage is right there in front of you, raised up, and you really can't see everything on it. So if I had one tip about the Candlelight Processional, is probably, I would go probably the fifth or sixth row center. That'd be close enough.
That's a good piece of advice, because there's a lot. I mean, there's so many. In addition to the Voices of Liberty singers, there's also kind of, I guess you could call them off-duty cast members, volunteer cast members. There's choirs from all over. So the choir that's up there is huge. There's a giant orchestra. There's trumpet players on the sides of the stage. There's just a beautiful set altogether. So yeah, to see the whole thing really adds to the event.
Oh, I agree. And if you have a star that is into the situation and knows what he's doing and really enjoys it or seems to, it just adds to the experience. It's phenomenal.
So you mentioned the sound and how you can hear it pretty much everywhere, which you absolutely can. There's actually a 50-piece orchestra that's part of the holiday processional. That along with the choir, the singers, which are arranged to look like Christmas trees, it's really a great experience. Gotta like the candlelight processional and the celebrity narrators, as you mentioned. If they get into it, it's great. According to Disney's website, right, it's a holiday tradition in sight and sound. Each year, the candlelight processional makes its way to Epcot with the rich sounds of a full orchestra and choir fill the theater. As a special guest narrator takes the stage, listen along while the story of the babe in the manger touches your heart as it has for generations, accompanied by warm and inspiring holiday music. It's really what it is. It's a great touch in Epcot, and it's a great wrap to a day with lots of other things happening in Epcot itself.
Very true. That time of the year, it starts getting dark around 6, 6:30. I think that's when the first show was. Again, if you're not making the dinner reservation for the package, then we're probably going to tell you to get there 45 minutes to an hour ahead of time if you want to sit down. Otherwise, again, you can hang out around American Adventure, Japan, countries close to that, and you can still listen in.
And Ed, I'm looking, it looks like about half of the narrators have been announced so far.
Oh, great.
I think those might roll out more over the next month or so. There's a couple of familiar names that are missing, so I'm imagining that those will fill in over the next few weeks. But
do they have Christmas week?
They have Marley Matlin on December 21st through 23rd, and she's been there before.
Right.
They don't have anybody yet for the 24th through 27th. So.
Okay. Cool.
But also there is Anna Gasteyer, Sharon Stone, Whoopi Goldberg, Jodie Benson, and Stephen Curtis Chapman. So those dates are actually on the website. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, I imagine by September, the rest of those will fill out.
Awesome. Sounds like some good people already. Okay, well, before we leave Epcot, there's some other things that we can do over there as far as the holiday season goes and something to kind of plan on. One of the things they do in World Showcase is they have each of the countries representation of what the Santa figure is in their country. And what they have is a cast member who acts out those parts. This is something that was fun with the kids when they were younger. As they've gotten into their teens, they're not as interested, but definitely something interesting to check out. Have you guys checked out the Santas and the Nanas and all the different characters?
We have. It's actually very educational. I found it very interesting. I mean,
yeah,
the one that probably closest represents the Santa from America is probably Germany. Some of them are completely different than what you would think of when, as an American that would think of Santa Claus. Some of them are completely different.
Jimmy, you don't think the Monkey King reminds you of Santa?
Was he over in Japan or China?
He's in China. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. And he is quite the interesting storyteller. That's one that I always remember. So I have not yet seen all of them, but we have tried to see a couple. And I do know that they, at least during part of the day, I'm not sure if it's the whole time, they try and schedule them so that you can pretty much make your way from one to the other if, you know, maybe you're adults touring or kids that are really interested and can last through several different storytellers, you can kind of hit several of them in a row.
Right.
Right. They're very fun.
It's really sort of evolved the last few years. And in fact, they've evolved it into what they call holidays around the world, where there are actually some of the food and wine festival kiosks left over that they don't move, and they transform them into this holidays around the world, which is really almost turning into the third festival at Epcot. And in fact, at the Disney Parks blog, they recently talked about a cookbook that's going to be released this year at the Food and Wine Festival. And it actually includes, in Disney's quotes, right, special recipes from all three Epcot festivals, Flower and Garden, Food and Wine, and Holidays Around the World. So I really see them doing much more at Epcot to engage guests and take this concept of the Yuletide traditions of each of these countries and turn it into yet another reason to walk around World Showcase in the wintertime. And I think then Candlelight Processional is sort of the icing on the cake for that. But I really like the way this is going.
Oh, no doubt. Now they have another celebration where they could serve more food.
Sure. Absolutely. And peppermint beer or whatever, I'll try that.
Everybody's version of the hot toddy.
It's worth noting that both. Yes, exactly. Spiced cider. I can do that. Or hot chocolate. It's worth noting that both of those start after Thanksgiving. The Candlelight Processional and the holidays around the world.
So when does Food and Wine finish? When does that end?
November.
Because if I remember right,
11th.
There's a few weeks, right?
Food and Wine ends November 11th.
So November 11th, they've closed Food and Wine. Figure half of the 30 kiosks are removed. The other half are rethemed. That takes a couple of weeks, and then they're reopened as holidays around the world.
Okay, well, before we leave Epcot, is there anything else holiday that we really want to talk about? I don't think so. I can't really think of anything else. Okay, well, my most favorite, and actually we probably should have started here because it is one of my favorites, but the best holiday event or the best holiday activity you can see down in Walt Disney World, I believe, is the Osborne Family Lights over at Disney Hollywood Studios. Now, Sam's Disney Diary has a number of great videos that represent this. And I tell you what, when you make it down here for the holiday season, this isn't something you have to make reservations for. This is just something you definitely plan to see. There's a couple strategies in that, and we'll go over that in a second, but I think we're going to have Sam explain to us what this is all about.
The Osborne Festival of Dancing Lights is absolutely tremendous. There's a huge backstory behind these dancing lights and the family that originally had it on their farm, and they didn't have a place to put it, and ultimately Disney stepped in and said, come on, we want to bring them to Florida and set up Residential Street, if you remember where Residential Street used to be in Disney's MGM studios. Fast forward quite a few years, and the evolution has turned the streets of America, including New York Street and San Francisco Street, into an unbelievable display of Christmas lights that in the last few years start to dance to the music periodically. Essentially, think of yourself walking through, as we always do, New York Street as you're leaving Muppet Vision and headed back towards Toy Story Mania. And it's usually pretty empty through the day in the summertime. Cover absolutely every inch of every facade you could possibly get with Christmas lights. Choreograph them to music with over 60 hidden Mickeys throughout the display. It's absolutely amazing and mind-blowing. Now, what they'll do is have a countdown and a family of the day every evening. Now, they say it's at dusk when they turn the lights on. So, obviously, through the holidays, it changes a little bit, but it's usually around 6 o'clock. You can ask guest relations and they'll let you know. But you definitely want to be on the street when they flip that light switch on. It's an amazing event. It will snow back there on the streets of America. Don't eat the snow. It's actually soap. the hot chocolate back there. I absolutely love the Festival of Dancing Lights, and I've done quite a few videos on it, including the history of them and how they got there.
Definitely check out those videos on Sam's Disney Diary. Last week, we had Steve Barrett of Hidden Mickey fame on, and when we did our show notes, some of the pictures I posted actually were of the Hidden Mickeys from the Osborne Family Lights, which is great because those Hidden Mickeys are usually flashing on and off, and that's how they hide them.
They also have the hidden cat that they have there every year.
Yeah.
Which you'll find if you see some of my videos. But basically, the way the story goes, when the Osbournes packed up their Christmas lights and sent them to Florida, Mr. Osborne accidentally left one of his Halloween lights in there, which is an illuminated purple cat. Right, it's a black cat, but you can't light black, so it's purple. And they hide it someplace different every year. And that's the big thing, to try to find that hidden cat. And it's just really another great little addition.
Oh, yeah, it's always fun to have something extra to look for in there. Two tips, really quick, as far as when to see the lights. You should either go right at the beginning. Like Sam said, it's really cool to see them turn it on. And the big switch is like a 6-foot switch, wall switch, that's located kind of in the middle of the street. I'm sorry, kind of where San Francisco Street intersects with New York Avenue and by the one big tree there. And the other good time to see the Osborne lights is actually at the end of the day. When Hollywood Studios closes, the lights stay open for a little while after closing. kind of like imagine Epcot when it closes at 9. They don't actually kick you out. They let you keep walking around if you like. And it's similar with the Osborne Family Lights. So that's a nice little time when it starts getting a little quieter.
And I'm looking at my video here, and I actually did it 2 years ago. It was episode number 21, all about the Osborne Lights. And to your point, Ed, one of the things I like to do, and I point it out here, if you're there when they turn the light switch on, you'll find that most people simply run back to the lights, which, by the way, they're going to route you all the way around back towards Lights Motors Action and let you come through the front. Because most people simply walk through there and then head over to the first Fantasmic show. Don't. There's a second Fantasmic show. Stay there. It will empty out. There'll be much less people there while Fantasmic's happening. And you'll know when it's over because they all come back. But you'll be able to see multiple songs and watch from different angles and look for those hidden Mickeys and just take it in.
Very good advice.
Yeah, I'm on my soapbox for the Osborne Lights. I love it.
I think that's good because I was very surprised when Ed said that was his favorite. I really enjoy it, but I just think I haven't experienced it right. So I'm looking forward to doing it again this year. I think it's breathtaking, but I always get caught in that shuffle, and they started directing you kind of unexpectedly 1 year when they hadn't done it in the past. And so our most recent experience was just being sort of plowed through, and I'm like, oh, lights, that looks really cool. And then it was over, and I've been there several times and it's indescribably beautiful, but that's it. Like, to me, I don't have the same connection. So now I have a list of things I need to do when we go back this year. My kids are a little bigger. We can spend more time just taking it in a little bit differently. So I appreciate your soapbox.
They added Santa Goofy back there too. So Santa Goofy is back near the restaurant. It's not Backlot Express. I forget the name of it. But that's a new little thing that's kind of cool. And he's almost hidden. You come around the corner, it's like, hey, there's Goofy. He's Santa Claus. Cool.
That's awesome.
I haven't been there through in the last couple of years, so I haven't been through it when it's so regimented as it sounds like. So we were just really wandering around. One of the things that also stuck out on San Francisco, on that street, was that we looked inside one of the houses there on the street level, and wouldn't you know it, the TV was on, and a Christmas special was on, one of the Hanna-Barbera specials. So I was like,
that's cool.
Wow. So you got to look for the details. Okay, so now, Hollywood Studios, we talked about the Osborne Family Lights. Does the studios have anything else really Christmassy? I mean, obviously everything, all the lampposts will be decorated, and the cast members, some of them will be wearing holiday things. But I can't remember really anything that stood out as far as just for the holiday season at that park. They did do a holiday parade at one point, but that's no longer.
Well, just, it's not specific to the studios, but since Sam mentioned Santa Goofy, I'm looking back at a picture of us with him at Animal Kingdom back when the characters met at the now gone Camp Minnie Mickey. But it's worth noting that throughout the resort, all the different parks, not always, but you can at different times find each of the characters, especially the classic characters, in winter sweaters, in Christmas like Santa gear, in scarves and hats. And so it's kind of neat to see characters you've seen before but dressed for a different season. So that's worth looking for too.
That's the best picture when you get those holiday shots. Okay, so let's move on to the Magic Kingdom. Now, the Magic Kingdom, the big thing that stands out there is the Christmas party. Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. I had to get my initials right there, my acronym.
Yeah, it's hard to get mixed up.
This one is my favorite.
Oh, well, why is it the favorite? What stands out for you at this
one? Oh, goodness. To me, I don't know. I just love the Christmas season in general. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I have a problem with it starting in July, like it seems to be now at craft stores and things like that. But I don't have a problem with Christmas carols before Thanksgiving. And I love all that stuff. It just kind of puts me in a good mood. But when you walk into the Christmas party, it's like all the decorations that you see throughout the day that make Disney World a different place at the holiday season, but times 100. The lighting is different. There's red and green spots where there were white spots and there like spotlights, and there are snowflake lights moving, and just the entire atmosphere if you've been to the Halloween party, maybe, but not the Christmas party, it's that same kind of overemphasized atmosphere, not in a tacky sort of way, but just everything feels very big and very festive. The music is a little bit louder. And even though, again, even though it's Christmas music, it's themed, you'll have a little bit more of a country western feel in Frontierland and a little bit more be techno-y or futuristic Christmas music in Tomorrowland. And it's just everything Christmas, but still everything Disney. The giant Mickey heads on the lampposts, and there's free cookies and hot chocolate and great extra shows. Obviously, I'm on my soapbox, because this is definitely one that we go back for year after year, because it's just the most festive thing I can think of anywhere. And so if you like Christmas and you like Disney, this is like just a perfect combination of the two for me.
Oh, no doubt. And I tell you what, when we get closer to the holidays, we're going to go more into detail about what's included in the party. The thing to know now, though, I think is that, and you guys can disagree or agree with me, I don't think you necessarily, planning-wise, need to buy your tickets for the party now, or can you? As you get closer to the season, that's when you start thinking about it. And I think unless it's the Christmas week, you still can kind of get your tickets for almost any night weeks ahead of time. What do you guys think?
So tickets are, and that's a great point you bring up, because let's caveat this. This is a hard ticketed event. So this is a ticket above and beyond park admission. If you have a multi-day park hopper, what this ticket does is gives you access into the Magic Kingdom at 4 p.m. on the day of the party. On the day of the party, the standard Magic Kingdom hours will end at 7 p.m., so all regular guests will be kicked out at 7, and you'll need to have your wristband, which this year, I don't know if they're finally going to tie it to Magic Band or not, but that doesn't matter. They look for your party wristband that allows you to stay inside the park. Everybody else needs to leave. It's select nights, because they do close the park early, so it's not every night. Tickets are already available. In fact, I'm looking right now. The first party is November the 7th. Those tickets for adults are $67. For kids, they're $62. Now, I'll also say that they do have some dates with specials for annual pass holders or DVC members, or there might be discounts for select nights. Here's the other interesting thing. Right now, tickets are available from November the 7th until the week before Christmas, December 19th. And here's the biggest difference between the Christmas party and the Halloween party. To experience the events at the Halloween party, you pretty much have to go to the event. Well, as I mentioned, Disney needs to close the Magic Kingdom a little early in order to have the Christmas party. Christmas week is one of the busiest weeks at Walt Disney World, and we should at least point that out, right? It's the one where everybody goes because everybody's got time off. I don't like to go that week because it's so busy. But because of that, there is no Christmas party. And some of these events that we're talking about, that we will talk about, the parade, the fireworks, the stage show, the Castle Dreamlights, you can experience all of that Christmas week without buying a ticket to the Christmas party. But just understand that it's going to be very busy and very packed.
I wanted to add to that. So the ticket for an adult to the Christmas party is $67, but you also have to understand that you don't need park admission for that day. You can enter the park at 4 o'clock with just that ticket to the party.
Great point. Great point.
So it's not an addition to a theme park ticket.
So you could have you could be staying for 8 days and only have a 6 day hopper and use this for one of the other days.
You can get in at 4 o'clock. That's correct.
Yes.
And Ed, to your question about whether it's going to sell out, I know that some of the weekends, you know, there are, I think, maybe Friday night events and maybe not Saturday. It might be the other way around. But there are dates that will sell out, especially closer to Christmas. I don't think they sell out super early like the Halloween party that takes place on Halloween, since, as Sam said, there isn't one that takes place Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. However, as we've talked about before, if it's something that you know you want to do and if you know your schedule, for example, we're going to be down there getting ready to go on a cruise, and my parents only have that evening, the evening, a Friday evening there, and they're not buying tickets. They're not, you know, doing a Disney World vacation, but we bought tickets so that they can go to the Magic Kingdom and the party that evening. So as we've talked about with other things, if it's something that you know you want to do, the tickets are available now. And you can go ahead and purchase those and have that already taken care of. So.
That's right. One less thing to worry about down the road. Very cool. So now Magic Kingdom, there's really no other events they have for the holiday season, I think, that's as far as making reservations or planning for, per se. Am I wrong, guys?
In the park? No, I'd say that's it.
Right. Yeah. And then Animal Kingdom, nothing really jumps out at me as far as what they have holiday-wise. Although with these Harambee Nights, who knows if they might have something new this year planned.
They used to have the Jammin' Jingle Parade. Is that what they called it?
Oh, that's right. Right, right. The holiday
overlay thing. The parade, but that parade's gone. So, I don't know what they're going to do this year.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did something Harambee Nights-like. So we'll see. One other thing I want to mention really quick as far as planning a holiday trip to Walt Disney World is that if you have some flexibility as far as where you're going to stay, as far as a deluxe, perhaps, the deluxe hotels really, really go all out in their decorations. Each one of the hotels tends to have their stereotypical item inside there. For example, the Grand Floridian, they actually build a gingerbread house, a life-size gingerbread house in the lobby. And you can then, throughout the holiday season, buy gingerbread samples and shingles and things like that from them. And it's a really, really cool addition, very, very holiday-like. Now, I know you guys stay over at the Epcot hotels.
I think they all have something special. One that I think gets overlooked, and I think this is pretty cool, is over at the Swan and Dolphin. There's a causeway between the Swan and Dolphin where the boat landing is. And every year during the holidays, except for Christmas Day, Santa Claus is on vacation there. So you can get your picture taken with Santa. He's wearing his Bermuda shorts. He's got his vacation gear on. His sleigh's there, and he's just relaxing and chilling out, except for Christmas Day when he's out doing his stuff.
That's cool.
So that's a pretty cool one that gets missed. There's also a pretty big chocolate display inside the Swan. All of the resorts, just it's worth it to go resort to resort to see the holiday decorations.
Oh, no doubt.
Yes. I was going to add that when you asked about the Magic Kingdom, because that's an easy way to check out the resorts that are right on the monorail loop, just their different decorations, because throughout each of the resorts, even at the moderates and values, the deluxes tend to do something big, like the gingerbread house, literally and figuratively, but they all have Christmas trees and things that are really themed. You know, French Quarter will have a Mardi Gras themed Christmas tree, each of the resorts has some really unique decorations that are very purposefully picked out. But Ed, to your question about the beach club and those kind of resorts, the beach club has a gingerbread carousel with giant horses. And then I think that the boardwalk, it has a miniature boardwalk, but I can't remember if it's made out of chocolate or gingerbread. So now I'll have to go check it out. But like a Ferris wheel and things like that as well.
It's worth going to see.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember either.
And then Fort Wilderness, also really close to the Magic Kingdom, has, they have carriage rides year round, but during the holiday season, they are themed as sleigh rides. The carriage is decked out as a sleigh. There's a couple of extra sights along the way. So another option, in addition to just the displays that you might see, even some extra activities at some other resorts for the holidays.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Our Fort Wilderness show, we talked all about how really, really decorative it gets over there. People go incredibly out of control as far as decorating with the lights. I think you could probably see it from space when it's lit.
I was doing some research for that, and I came across some of the pictures. And yes, you're absolutely right. It's like all of the inflatables that are available in the world are on some of these campsite loops. So that, I think we're going to have to go check that out, because my kids will love that.
That's cool.
Oh, right. And tie that into dinner, either at Hoop-Dee-Doo or at the buffet they have there in the restaurant next to it, the Trail's End. And it's a nice little evening.
Absolutely.
And especially in the wintertime, it's an early evening, too, with the younger kids. So that's perfect.
Last year, Ed, over at Magic Kingdom, they added the overlay to the Jungle Cruise, the Jingle Cruise. And I think I might have mentioned it mistakenly.
You did,
which is awesome. And I knew I did. That's what reminded me of it. The Jingle Cruise, which I did a video about too, by the way, which is just a holiday overlay to one of the attractions, which is really cool. I have my fingers crossed that there could be more in the works for this year, because that kind of was sprung out at the last minute last year. Hey, we're redoing the Jungle Cruise. It's going to be the Jingle Cruise. And they went all out and decorated it and changed the spiel. And it was a reason to go ride the Jungle Cruise again, which was great. I can only hope that they do some other overlays. We know that Disneyland has lots of holiday overlays, which we do not get. But that is what it is, right?
Sure, sure. The first holiday season we got to go down to Walt Disney World, it was the year after they stopped doing the holiday overlay for the Country Bears.
So I never got to see that.
Missed it by a year.
Never got to see that live.
The Disney World website under Holidays at Walt Disney World Resort lists Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, Holidays Around the World at Epcot, goes on and on and on, and in the middle of that page, Jingle Cruise.
Nice.
So I think you might get your wish.
That's cool. It'll be back. You know, the only other thing from an advice perspective when it comes to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and without getting in the details, I think it's, and Jennifer said this many times, setting expectations is key, right? And there is so much happening when it comes from parades and fireworks and stage shows and character meet and greets with just about every character you can imagine in their Christmas getup. Snow White and all seven dwarves are available for a meet and greet. I mean, you just don't get that kind of stuff. And the rides will have very short lines, especially when the parade's going on. And I guess my advice is to scope it out and decide what you want to do. If you think it's worth it to buy that ticket to just go ride Pirates of the Caribbean as many times as you can, you'll absolutely be able to do that, but you'll miss other things. And likewise, if you want to go and get your picture with every one of the characters, because that's absolutely what your kids love, set that expectation. And if you grab a parade, it's a bonus. Or the other way, where I want to see the parade and fireworks, and that's all I want. There's just so much happening, you can't get it done in the 4 or 5 hours that they give you.
That is incredibly useful advice. I actually have friends who go down at Christmas. That's the time they go each year. And they get 2 party tickets. One to get character autographs, because as you mentioned, not only are the 7 dwarfs there, but all the princes are there, which you don't get except for special events. Lots of other rare characters, like some villains, even though it's not a Halloween party. Jane and Turk were at our last event. Lots and lots of characters that you don't see. So if character hunting and autographs is character hunting, that's a bad choice of words. Autograph seeking is your thing, then it's a really kind of a cool thing to do, which we never really got into before we had kids. But now that we have autograph books, that is how we spent our entire party. Our last party, we saw no stage shows. So very important to realize you're not going to do everything.
That's a personal decision, and I've been with people that do nothing but get character autographs, and I want to see the parade and fireworks.
Right.
And that's just, you know, just set the right expectation, and if you need to split your group up, you have to do what you have to do, right?
See, that could be the difference between all of us, because you know what? That, the more and more I hear this, I would buy the ticket for the day, and I would ride all the rides.
And you could do that too. There'll be a 5-minute walk. Pirates of the Caribbean, walk out, walk right back in.
Right. Exactly.
I was about to say, a lot of people use it as an opportunity to ride the rides with short waits.
And honestly, it's less than the cost of a 1-day ticket. So.
Right. Yep. It's perfect. And it's 8 hours. They're open at midnight, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. And I've walked by, you know, we sort of alluded to this when we did our March Madness countdown, where you're going from one thing to another holiday related, and you find yourself standing between Peter Pan and Haunted Mansion, and they both have no weight. I mean, do you jump on one of these, or are we going to go watch the parade? It's a dilemma.
It's tough. Yeah. But you're right. Go into it with what you want to do beforehand. That way you're not pulling yourself apart trying to do it all. Perfect. Okay, well, now we're going to kind of switch gears. And we're going to talk a little bit about the things that are holiday themed at Walt Disney World all year round. Now, as Sam told us before, sometimes we want to get that Christmas picture that we're going to use for our Christmas cards or our holiday cards that year. And when you're at Walt Disney World in the summertime, fall or spring, you can accomplish this. You can also shop for some great Christmas gifts all year round too. So we're going to talk about some of those areas and take a turn at each and then try to give you some ideas where you can kind of accomplish this. The Christmas in July, so to speak. And one of my favorite areas is over at Downtown Disney. Now, something we've done since the kids have been very small is we tried to find a couple places in the parks that we could take pictures of the kids every time we go on a trip. That way, as they get older, we'll see them grow with the same background. Now, one of these things is a really cool Christmas holiday setup that they have at Downtown Disney near where the toy store is now and those fountains at that. I'm not sure exactly what the entrance is called, but it's one of the entrances to Downtown Disney.
Kind of near the bus stop, right?
Correct. Near the bus stop, right, coming across from the hotels on the other side, the Downtown Disney hotels. And as soon as you walk in there to your left, walking into Downtown Disney, they have the display of a number of Christmas trees and the Fab Five all dressed up in holiday attire. It's a very, very cool picture, and the kids fit in really well with that area. And that would be a perfect Christmas card.
We've actually used that photo for our Christmas card.
Mm-hmm. We've done it a couple of years. Till somebody mentioned
it. And that's what it is, right? It's that in August. You're down there in August and you want to get the picture for the Christmas cards. We have actually thrown our Christmas caps inside of our bag and take them down. And there we are on Main Street USA putting our hats on in front of the castle, which isn't all that fun when there's no castle dream lights. So we kind of scratch our head and go, okay, where are we going to go and get a holiday picture taken in Magic Kingdom in one of these places? So over near the Christmas store, because of course there's always the ability to buy a Christmas ornament. You can always get a coffee mug, a Christmas ornament, a magnet just about anywhere. But outside of the Christmas store, across from Hall of Presidents, there's a sleigh sort of outside, a little white sleigh that looks like it's been left over from the holidays and the horse just dropped it off. And we've done many pictures inside of that with the holiday decorations of the store sort of behind you. So I think that's a good area that isn't necessarily in front of the castle, but it's in Walt Disney World, and it's a great spot to throw a holiday light on, pretend like it's a little bit chilly, and take that picture that'll be on your Christmas card.
Yeah, that's a great place.
Jen, where are you taking your picture?
Well, instead of a Christmas card picture, I was thinking more about the shopping, because I like to have a souvenir for my trip, no matter what time of year it is, maybe a Christmas ornament for the tree, or gifts that you can't get at home. Disney World has ornaments in almost every store, whether it's resort specific or even sometimes ride specific. But some of them I find a little more unique are, as Sam mentioned a little bit earlier, in Germany, there's a store that has the story of the Christmas pickle. Which do you guys know the Christmas pickle story?
Yes.
I did not until I saw it there, but tell me about it again.
I actually got one as a wedding gift, and then I saw it there as well. But I guess traditionally there, it's supposed to have come from the United States, from Germany, and there's like a ceramic, or it's not even ceramic, it's like almost plastic, or it's an ornament pickle, literally a pickle, like a whole pickle. And the story is that it was always hidden on the Christmas tree as one of the decorations. And on Christmas morning, the first person to find the pickle got an extra present from Santa Claus, or an extra year of good luck, or something along those lines, depending on the tradition. But it's kind of a funny ornament in that, I mean, it's not your traditional, you know, Santa or snowman or Mickey Mouse. It's
the original elf on a shelf, isn't
it? It is. It kind of is. But it's really kind of a neat, I don't know, it's a little bit, it's almost a little bit of a Christmas nerdy gift from Disney. So
it is.
It appealed to me a lot. But there's a lot of really cool ornaments there. There's a lot of really cool things in each of the Christmas shops year-round. So.
And the best part of that one is why we're talking about it. You can get that anytime. You can get that tomorrow.
Right.
Yes.
And it's really nice because once you walk in the front door of the German store, the right past the Carmel place, I believe it was, it's in a big basket right inside the door to the right.
Do you really walk past the Carmel place? Do you not stop?
That is great.
Right.
I don't know how to do that. After you've eaten at Carmel Kitchen, then you can go and get your pickle.
I stand corrected.
That's a good one. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay. Jimmy, what do you got?
Going back to the Christmas photos, another area is that area right outside of Muppet Vision, as you exit Muppet Vision, right by Pizza Planet, they have that little area, the little Christmas shop there, and the outside has got the snow, and it's always kind of Christmas right there in that area as well.
Yeah, I think we have a couple full snowmen, don't we?
I was going to say, is that the, with the snowman year-round? Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Which I have, one of my children was accustomed to sitting on his head until he got too big to do that. That was the picture every year on the snowman's head, right? And that's another great one because the window behind it and the store behind it is decorated with the holly and the garland because that's their Christmas store. And there's always some Mickey Mouses in the window. So they're kind of in the back of the picture. So that's a great spot for a Christmas card.
Very cool.
Yep, absolutely.
Very true.
Now, we were talking about buying gifts and Christmas gifts. Well, there is another Christmas store in downtown Disney, the 12 Days of Christmas. It's located kind of like in the section where the Rainforest Cafe is, over on that side of downtown Disney. And it is a really big Christmas store, and I think you're going to find what you're looking for there, too.
Oh, it's huge.
One of the cool things there, sorry, Jen, is you can pick any ornament, and they will personalize it for you.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Great mind.
Yeah. So there you go. So you're able to get that dated family name vacation on an ornament, which I think is just great because then every holiday season, as you take it out, you're remembering where and when type of a thing. It's a great spot.
That one also has some Christmas like home decor, which I think is really cool because it's not – like the Disney store sells some and maybe a couple other department stores around here. But we have, I mean, each person kind of does things a little bit differently, but we have a lot of Disney things throughout our house, but they don't like scream Disney or Mickey. And I've seen some really cool rooms and houses that do, but for us, we kind of tend on the more like subtle side. And this, I mean, there's like a wall that has probably different ones each time we've gone, but 5-6 different styles of stockings and tree skirts or, you know, things like that that you can decorate at Christmas time that fit just about any kind of home theme. So I think that's kind of neat as a different souvenir that has some functionality but also reminds you of your trip.
That's what it's all about, reminding you of the trip.
Sure. Yes.
So that you plan the next one.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay, well, we've discussed some of the things we should start planning for our holiday trips, and we've talked about some of the things we can find in the Walt Disney parks all year round that are holiday related. What'd we miss? Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and let us know. Or touch base over at our Facebook page, the Disney Nerds Group, or the Disney Nerds Podcast page.
I think we should do a trivia question, Ed. What do you think?
Sure, Sam, go for it.
So here's what I'm thinking. You're in Disney World. Pick the time, not the holiday season, but it could be. There are two attractions in Walt Disney World where you can get your Christmas fix, I guess, where there's Christmas reference all the time. Email the show with those two attractions, and we will have some type of a gift for that trivia question.
Excellent question. I'm already thinking it through. I think I only know one.
Yep, I've got the one already too. So yeah,
I have to think of the other one.
So if you come up with those two answers, definitely email the show at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, and we'll take all the right answers, put them in a hat, pick a winner, and we're going to send you a nice, you know what, I think I'm looking into the prize closet now. I think what we're going to do is send you out a really cool Disney Nerds pin. Okay guys, well thanks for listening to show number 44, our Christmas in July. For Sam, Jimmy, Jennifer, this is Ed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Kungaloosh.
See you real soon.
Gosh, wasn't that fun?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Why, I could listen to those songs all over again.
I sure could.
That was great.
Me too, but it's getting kind of late, and I still have some gift wrapping to do. Oh, I hope you like your presents. You were all so hard to shop for. Well, good night, everybody. Oh, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Millie.
Oh, and a Merry Christmas to you, too.